Hello and welcome to the podcast Echoes of Memory. I'm Ryan Knight, and today we're exploring how memories of persecution and resistance are passed down through generations of Roma families. So often we hear that Roma stories were lost or erased, but in truth, many families carried their stories, accounts, songs, photographs across decades. Today, together with my guests, we'll talk about the power and challenges of intergenerational memory. So thank you all for joining me. And I'm going to ask before we begin, if you could please briefly introduce yourselves.
You know my name, Alfred Ulrich. Nowadays, I live and work in an atelier rented of the town Dachau in Bavaria. Since in the late 90s, I found out that three of my uncles have been also interned in the concentration camp Dachau. That was one of the reasons to make artistical interventions to find out how society behaves on towards Roma nowadays.
Thank you.
Hello. It's a truly pleasure to be invited to this podcast. I am very grateful to be here with all of you. My name is Bianca Babasa. I am a Roma actress from Romania. For the past 2 or 3 years, I've been involved in social field and I consider myself a baby activist. I want to have a voice and to support activist causes from Roma people. Alongside theater and film, I've worked in radio drama and social theater with young people from disadvantaged backgrounds, both Roma and non-Roma. I help them express themselves and discover who they are through theater and forum theater. Thank you for having me.
Hello, I'm Braydon Javara from Tirana, Albania. I have been working with Roma minorities since 10 years ago. I'm a journalist in my profession, but before I have been working as a community organizer with Roma community in all over Albania. I've been focusing on housing issues, on education, healthcare system. And last 5 years, I have been working in NGO called Community Reporters Albania, who is a media dedicated only to the Roma and Balkanization community in Albania for their rights. We cover 7 municipalities, who are the biggest municipalities the Roma are living there. There are a lot of problems, so I'm happy to be here and thank you for inviting me to discuss about the memories of Echoes.
Thank you all for coming. What an amazing, accomplished group of people we have sitting around this table. I'd like to start by asking you the question, which Alfred just touched on actually in his introduction, of when you were growing up, what stories, if any, did you hear about your family or how your community survived the Holocaust?
I have here 2 examples. For example, my uncle Rudolf, one of the survivors of the family, drew beautiful gravestones to offer the missing relatives a place of remembrance. The other is my mother was forced to manufacture projectiles in a Buchenwald sub camp. She produced so-called tuts, offering resistance to the best of her ability.
For me, it was different. I didn't grow up with clear stories about the Holocaust. There were fragments, the sense that something terrible had happened, but it couldn't be named. And when I was younger, I was trying to hide my heritage. And at that moment, I didn't realize how important it is to know your history. And as I grew older, I began searching for the truth myself, especially through art. That's where I found a space where memory can be told and heard.
So I heard for the first time about the Holocaust in 2013. I never knew about the story. But luckily in Albania, we have some great NGOs that have been working with a lot of activists and has been sending those activists in Poland to see the exhibition and the what is remaining from the camps. Now we have an object in Albania with the resistance of Romani, 60 May, that every year we gather there and we discuss. And there are a lot of groups that are going to Auschwitz every year just to see what happened in the story.
So for some survivors, Speaking about the past was very difficult, and to retell the traumas that they'd experienced was something that was very hard. So actually passing on the stories of Romani people in the Holocaust became something which was quite difficult. And how do you think the difficulty of telling these stories affected the next generation's sense of identity when relating to this history, and especially for you discovering this later in 2013, for example?
Well, I think that there is one great fact. Romani people, they are known for their fanatism because they remain their language that is very important in all over those years. It is very, I think it's very important for all Romani community in all Europe and abroad. But I think the silence is very good option for them since they have been traumatized there. And they have been passing a lot of very bad situation. I think they choose silence because it was a very good option for them to not speak about the past. The past is very hard, and the truth is always, it's hurting. And I think the next generation must know about those stories. They must know what happened and discuss with each other because there is their past. There is their past, and even in schools, we need to have those curriculums about the Roma history, because we all know Jews' history in the Auschwitz camp, not Roma community. This is a new term. I think it's like 5 years ago started to speak about in Europe. Even in Albania, I have heard very lately about the resistance of Romani. So I think it will be very great. The next generation can be learn about this, not only in art, media, but even in schools.
I think some families choose silence because after the war, there was no recognition, only marginalization and shame. And I think that's why.
Yeah, only my mother and three of her siblings survived traumaticide. They hope to be able to continue their traditions, but found no one with whom they could share this. And that was for us children a big problem because we couldn't understand why my mother, my uncles act curious often. And we got also, as children, very indifferent how to act with our parents and relatives. It was also like that. Neighbor children may not play with us, for example, or when I was going shopping with my mother, they always, in the shop, they said she did steal anything, and it was a problem when I was with it as a children. I couldn't understand this, and this I did bear all my lifetime. Now I'm 77 already, and I still have this in my mind, and I often don't trust what these main society people say, if it's really true.
So there was a fear of speaking out because the fundamental racism in the society hadn't been addressed, and the stigma was still being carried by the Romani community, whose responsibility it was to speak about their past.
I think it's still fear about other topics, not only the Holocaust today. They have a lot of fear to speak about for the education, for example. When we ask, what is the problem with the education? They say that we don't have money, for example. But there are a lot of options that kids can go to school, for example. So the fear is still active in the Roma society. And we need to move forward to boost those families. They don't have to have fear, for example.
What I'm hearing from you is so often the responsibility for speaking about the horrors of the Holocaust in the past have been left to the Romani community. This is what I meant by the responsibility was put on them for it, because the institutions weren't telling our stories and weren't putting this narrative in the mainstream and acknowledging the crimes that had been committed under National Socialism. And do you think that the silence that was left in the gap of this knowledge affected your understanding of your own family's past or your own relationship to your identity? I mean, you touched on it, how you felt like you had to not be open about the fact that you have Romani heritage.
Yes, I was like incognito in school because I felt all the shame being a Roma. And also my parents are singers and they sing Romani music. And when the teachers ask the classmates, okay, what are your parents doing for a living? It was really hard for me to speak about. I felt really frustrated when I arrived at university and the people were different and they were more open about being Roma. And there were girls who were trying to being like Roma girls and like have some traditional things for stole some traditional things from the Roma community. And I felt really sad because I think that I was Roma before that was cool. And, yeah, it was really sad for me.
Yeah, when I look back now, I see I had not many chances to get educated and I didn't get much help from society to get educated. And for that reason, like, I was the only one then who could write in my family. So nobody was interested about me in the school. So I stopped to go to school and I could write because in the name of my mother, my excuses, my son couldn't because he was sick. And I did then underwrite with these three crosses. But they shouldn't be too exact. They should have be a little schräg in German. That's the teacher believes it's a real note from my mother. And this, like then, I feel now when I look back, like it continued. So I didn't like go ahead. I had an education as a salesman once, but I never worked in this. And so I continued with like we call it in Viennese, we call it Schulstangeln, if you don't go to school. So I didn't go to my life. And with the time, I did find a way, while knowing other artists, to do art by myself. And so for that, I could, with the time, express my own impressions about. But in real, I didn't take really part on this main life. I was always a bit outside and had a look from outside on the society and I was never really with the society. And for that reason, it's still strange for me to live in these circumstances.
I have a story to share. When I was in the first grade in school, in Albania we have this manifest. 1 June is the kids' day. And we do like, we sing and we dance. It's like a small party in the class. And I didn't know where I belong, what community I belong. Because never of my parents told me that we are from this community. Never. Because we live in a mixed society with white peoples and I didn't know where I came from. So the teacher said to me, I was missing a mic, a microphone. But I have born from a musical family. My father is a musician, my grandfather, my uncle, all my tribe is from musicians' families. And they asked me, can you bring a microphone? Because you have a microphone, you do this job. I didn't know it. I was feeling ashamed because all the kids were looking at me and saying, he has a microphone, he's gypsy, he's Egyptians, you know? And I went home and asked my father, can I have a microphone tomorrow in school? What do you need? We have this concert. And when I was going to school, the teacher said to me, your race, your ethnicity, you do this kind of stuff. So this is why I ask it to you. But when I was in high school, this is the first time I feel discriminated in this way. In high school, I see very open-minded teachers and kids and others, and I didn't know it. that we were far part of this community. And after I discovered by myself, by searching every day on the internet, asking people who are elder than me, that why we are those people, why we call those people in this community. And now that I have been part of a lot of television in Albania, even my family is proud that we are from this community, because I have speak a lot, and this is my motto, to make Roma and Egyptian community life better. Even I go to the television, I always speak for their rights and their problems, because no one in the media is speaking for those communities. It's only politics and etc. I'm the only one in Albania doing this job in media, and I'm proud of this.
Why do you think it is that your Roma heritage was something that wasn't talked about in your family home?
This is a great question, because they will feel ashamed. They will finger it like this. You are from this community. You are not belonging to our neighborhood. Even we have been raised with other kids, and we had a great childhood, friends, and etc. But this is all about. Do not be ashamed, because the people on the street will call you gypsy or other names. And this was only to have like a modern family like others, but no one was talking in the family who we are and how I can protect myself if tomorrow some other kids will call me, you are a gypsy. Because gypsy, it's a bad term, it's a bad word, but it's not very good for us.
Over time, and as you three have shown, people have begun to reconnect with their histories and the parts of the Roma identity which have been hidden. And can you think of a moment when you actively searched for information, maybe by speaking to an older person in your family or visiting an archive or reading a testimony, and how this discovery of the history of the Holocaust and how the Roma people were part of that affected you or changed you in any way? How did it make you feel about your Romani identity? And was it something that was maybe healing or painful or both?
For example, I found out when I was working in Dachau about this so-called Landfahrerplatz, I went into the archive of the town of Dachau, and I found out I could only look about this in the last 30 years. And before 1950, about, I may not, I wasn't allowed to look at this.
Okay, so the archives were closed.
Yeah, and that, yeah, was irritating, but it was about in the year 2000. I found out quite a lot how the people of Dachau, they react about these Landfahrerplatz places, because they changed certain times, and all these notices from the politicians or also from business people living around and had some business there, they did, yeah, say very bad things about the so-called Landfahrer, because they don't behave like civilized people. And I found enough stuff to could make about these archive notes for many, many cabaret plays. Because it's, when I look from now at this, how they did react, they did, yeah, did all these clichés about Roma people. And then I also called, like in Nuremberg, there is like the office of the so-called Gypsy of Bavaria, the office there. And I called them and I asked them, and they told me, like, gypsies, they don't use this place since many years because it's so dirty that no human people will stay at this place. What the town of Dachau did, like, give to gypsy people. And on the other side, they already had a tradition, they invited every year to some memory days Jewish people from all over the world. But because I think gypsies had no relevance to as voters in this country, so they didn't need to care about them.
Mm-hmm. And for those that don't know, the Landwehrplatz are designated stopping places for traveling people.
Yeah.
And there was one in Dachau, and you did an artwork about it. Is this, yeah, this is what you're referring to. So you have the film installation that you created.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of. No, yeah, please correct me if I'm wrong.
I did. Yeah, but it's such a long time ago. It was about around 2000, 2006.
And it was dealing with the fact that in Dachau there is the stopping place that is designated for quote-unquote Landfahrer people. But you were commenting on the fact that they had just changed the terminology from Zigeuner to Landfahrer, but not
the place.
The place or the legislation necessarily of how they treated people.
But it was funny. After that, I did show that in one of my first exhibitions in Dachau about my identity. I did not put so much light spots on my life. I put the spot on how the town is serving gypsy people. And after this exhibition, the next day, the whole place was cancelled. The toilets, everything was away.
Was demolished.
Yeah. And a few later, I did work about this synonym Landfahrer for Zigeuner. And this town mayor didn't want to speak with me about this. And then by accident, I did send it 2011 to the people which organized this Roma Pavilion. And they accepted these photos and these videos. And so people from all over the world could see the circumstances, how Dachau is serving gypsy people. And so this town mayor, we could have been speaking with each other and do it in a calm way to change the situation. But then the whole world had a look on Dachau.
How they treat their
people.
Romani people.
Yeah.
Wow. So he responded to the outside gaze, but not to the direct activist movement to change it.
Because they didn't want to speak with me there at this time. But now the time has changed. And now my relation to the town of Dachau is much better. And I'm accepted already as an artist and also an activist. So they're a bit nicer to me now. In this town.
They should be. You've done them a service. And what about for you two? Was there a moment when you can remember actively searching for or engaging with hidden histories about the Holocaust and your Roma identity?
I only recently started looking for information, and this podcast has encouraged me to ask questions about the Holocaust within my circles. And I started for a few time to search for information. It's like 1 year ago, because in my family we had this bad experience, and I can share with you this story. Last year, my brother Babasha is his name. He has 23 years old. He's a young artist. He's a singer. And he was invited to play at the Coldplay concert in Romania. And he was invited on stage by the band to perform a traditional Romanian manele song. And instead of being celebrated, he was met with boos and hate from part of the audience, simply because he's a young Roma artist. And this moment revealed the unhealed racism that still exists in Romanian society. And it reminded me how quickly the majority can react with rejection when confronted with Roma culture, even in a space that claims to be open and inclusive. And moments like this show us why visibility matters and why representation must be accompanied by solidarity.
Well, as a journalist, I have to do my own job. So each year when the Romani days of resistance are, I always have been included an interview from the past what happened during the resistance, what happened in August. So I have been every year writing for the Roma Holocaust. I have been connected with a lot of activists in Albania and in Kosovo to know more about the stories. We don't have any people from Albania or Kosovo that has been in the camp, but we have always been very close to them to listen to their stories, and we have published them. In Albania, we don't have any museum or archives regarding the Roma Holocausting, but in internet there are several options that we can find stories, old pictures about the stories. So I have done my job, and I always will do. So, yeah.
And when you say Romani Resistance Day, you are referring to May 16th and August 2nd,
yeah,
which was the final day when the Romani and Sinti camp was, what's the word they use? It's a horrible word, don't they say? Liquidated. Yeah. I hate that word.
With gas.
Yeah.
There were 4,400 Roma killed by just one button. But there are more. They believe there are 5,100 people that are killed by the Nazi system. But as we have known, for example, in Albania, our government, they always make big round tables for the Jewish people, but not for the Roma.
Mm-hmm.
So we as activists, as media, we have been done round tables about Romani Resistance Day or 1st August, or we have done flash mobs, we have done gatherings around this monument. There is a building that has been painted on the symbol of woman on the Resistance Day in Albania, and we have been always discussed about this, but we want the youth to know the story because we already know, we already published in media, and we want another Roma that are very youth to know about this story because they are Roma. They don't change the race in the tomorrow. I know that it's no link between Albania and Germany or Poland, but there is very good to know about these stories.
In Romania, just like in Albania, there is no Holocaust memorial, and this history is not taught in schools. And last month, I visited the memorial to the Sinti and Roma murdered during the Holocaust in Berlin, and it was the first time I felt that our pain was recognized at the level it deserves. And I would really like the same for Romania. I would really like that history to be part of our national memory, and our stories should be part of school curriculums or public spaces of collective remembrance.
It is said that the act of remembering itself and passing down memories is in itself an act of resistance, an act of resistance against the silence of history. And what role do you think that intergenerational storytelling plays in resisting ongoing racism and persecution? I know you've just touched on it for us.
I think refusing to forget is a form of activism, of rebellion. And remembering becomes action when we fight back against the silence.
I think now at this, young Roma are much more educated, and so they did also learn how to articulate about the history of Roma in Europe. And I'm happy about that, that we will find now so many educated young Roma which could act, and not only act, and then also be creative to work to get all these further on. And I'm not afraid anymore that it will not happen, that the young people will do a good work.
As I said, that we have done our work. We need youth people, we need students more, not only for the Roma Holocaust, but to have more Roma students in education system. If we have them in education system, they can protect themselves in tomorrow. And normally they're going to learn about the stories of the past, and they will be very glad that, for example, in Berlin they have this monument, and perhaps in the future in their country going to be some other monuments and days to remember the Roma Holocaust. So I think this can be a resisting thing, and youth can learn a lot from us, from the history.
I think working with the youth through theater is another form of resistance. I work with them. I do forum theater and social theater. I help them to express themselves through theater, to build space together, space to exist, to speak, to create. And I help them turn pain into narrative, confusion into clarity, and empathize.
So have you, as you've started to touch on there, history and stories don't only survive in words, but they can survive and be carried forward through theatre, art, music, performance. And I wanted to ask you if there are any songs or poems or artistic traditions in your family that connect you to this history, and how you think cultural expression can help younger generations feel connected to their past.
Well, it is very hard to remain youth attracted to those ambitions that we want. For example, in music, it's very hard because a lot of youth want to change the story of their family. For example, my family is like a musician family, artist family. And now, well, me and my brother, we work in different options. So I carry always a mic, but I don't sing, I speak. And this is very hard. But I think there are a lot of artistic way to remain and connect to their past. For example, in schools, there are a lot of good curriculums about the history, about the civic, you know, and they can, with our help and with Ministry of Education, we can put and we can adjust curriculums that are, that we can put the past on the books, not only like normal days, but for example, in Albania, we have community schools. So the kids can stay till 4 or 5 p.m. and to do their homeworks. We have been asking a lot of the Ministry of Education to put curriculums about Roma history, because we have Albanian history, we have Italy history, U.S. history, Europe history, but we don't have those communities that are living in Albania. We have Greece, for example, in our curriculums, but we don't have Roma community history there. So this is a good tip to put in the curriculums in after, in tomorrow, for example, for the kids or youth to remain with the past. Because a lot of NGOs that are working in different projects are working only in history. So the history has been a little bit forgotten.
Yeah, for me it's very important, of course, because now I did find out quite a lot, but not all, how my ancestors died in several concentration camps, and that from many I don't know where, probably somewhere in Poland. But important is for me how I deal with it today. How can I, for me and for my family members, find better solutions? Because I see all these members, also, my nephews and nieces are traumatized. You can see it at once, but they are still not able to act like human beings, even that they are academic educated. And it's a sorrow for me how to get healthy life again, that we can also speak with the people of the main society about the real problem, because of this illness which came from this Nazi regime all over the world. We have to deal with this, I think, that we get real true people again and not play roles also in art and so on, to that we can express us naturally again.
I recently took part in an Erasmus program with only Roma participants from five different countries. And at first it was hard to communicate. We spoke different languages and came from different backgrounds. But because everyone was so creative and talented, art and music became our shared language. And we danced, we sing together, we created together. And it was a beautiful reminder of how powerful art really is. And that experience showed me why it's so important for Roma people to have more visibility and access in cultural places. Because we belong there. Our voices and our stories, our creativity deserve to be seen and heard.
So before we bring our podcast to a close, I wanted to ask if you could leave one message for Roma youth who are listening to this podcast today. What would it be?
In a very short form, stand by with your origins and move on with education so you will be able to act in society.
I think my message will be you are not alone and you have the right to be proud of who you truly are.
Since the Roma is the biggest minority in Europe with 12 million of people, my message will be that education is the key of the integration. All the stories, everything we in the past, we can learn and we can act and we can protect our history. So educate a lot and integrate in society.
Thank you all for sharing your memories and your reflections today. Intergenerational memory is more than a record of the past. It's a living force that helps us resist injustice and celebrate resistance, as I think all of you have shown. And if this conversation resonated with you listening, please subscribe, share, and join us again. Together, we remember and we honour those who came before us. Thanks for listening.